Yoishev Baroish is the next speaker who will offer greetings, and he is a person who has become literally a legend in his own lifetime, which teaches each of us what one dedicated and creative individual can do. I speak of none other than the president and founder of Touro College, Rabbi Dr. Bernard Lander. Please offer us words of greeting. Thank you.
It is my privilege to greet all of you to our institution. This program is being conducted in honor of the memory of Mrs. Kushner, the mother of Charlie Kushner, a veteran member of our Board of Trustees. Mrs. Kushner has been noted for her support of Torah studies. She's provided the funds for different yeshivas, especially the famous high school in Elizabeth that was founded by Rabbi Teitz. I welcome all of you. This subject is fascinating. The problems are real. I have also been struggling with the question of what is the Mesorah for the turkey that we eat, and I'm looking forward again to hear from Rabbi Herschel Schechter his interpretation. I hope this is a day that will be important to you in terms of Torah study and halachic information.
Our next speaker is an individual who I think has very often shown tremendous courage, and I think this entire conference, it was a very courageous effort on his behalf and his involvement in the whole conference and in the whole OU. And of course, I speak of the rabbinic administrator of the OU Kashrus, whose name is on every letter of certification that you see around the world, the large global network of the OU, and that is none other than Rabbi Menachem Gnachshlit.
I also want to welcome everybody to this conference. I want to thank, we just heard from Rabbi Dr. Bernard Lander, who is as was said, a legend in his time in terms of the field of education, Jewish education. What he's done is heroic and is representative of a man, though his eyesight may be fading, but his vision is extraordinary, a man of genius, and I'm happy that I'm able to follow him. I also want to acknowledge some of the people who are here in the audience today. His son, Rav Daniel Lander, who is my closest friend, Rav Chavusa, become a renowned Talmid Chacham, Rosh Yeshiva Or HaChaim, Rav Herschel Schechter, one of the poskim for the OU, head of the Kollel Yeshiva University, Rabbi Weinrib, the executive vice president of the OU, Rabbi Zweigenhaft, a master shochet who we'll be hearing from a little bit later. And I want to thank all those who were involved, especially Rabbi Grossman, who coordinated everything in putting this program together. And I also want to thank Dr. Chaim Wasserman, who is the chairman of the Kashrus Commission. I probably left somebody out, but you'll forgive me. I'm going to speak about, you know, when we began this conference, we thought that this issue about Mesorah of birds, it was a very esoteric issue, you know, sort of like Hilchos L'Mashicha. And as we were planning the conference, two issues came up. I'm going to speak about the second, but became very much halach l'maisa and was played up to a large extent in the press, both here in the United States and in Israel. One issue was about the leghorn, which is a chicken which some people claimed was not a kosher chicken. And the reason is one of the simonim for a kosher chicken, the Mishnah says, is that when the bird perches, it separates its four fingers or four claws, two in front, two in the back, and that's a simon of a non-kosher bird. And there was a claim that this leghorn, which is a species of bird which is commonly used for eggs, is a non-kosher, and all our eggs are not kosher because we have aloha yotzim not tamei tamei, if the bird is not tamei, so that which comes of it, the egg, or in the case of a mammal, the milk, is not kosher. So that issue came up. In fact, it was resolved. All points can agree. The different batidinim and research, in fact, information is inaccurate. Indeed, when it perches in a very precarious position. It will split its talons or fingers, but toes, but generally it does not. And it's the badats and other badats declared it to be a kosher bird. The other issue that came up, and that's the one I'm going to speak about today, is about the zebu. The zebu is a kind of cattle that is indigenous to India and is commonly slaughtered now in South America. It's a strange-looking cattle. It has a very fleshy hump and skin under its neck. Its ears droop. It's very unique in terms of its experience. And the issue is the zebu kosher? Why not? After all, we know in terms of what determines a kosher species, I'm going to speak about what the determinant is, but in terms of animals, a kosher animal is one which is mafreshes pashas, or sarsesa and malagera, split hooves and chews its cud, which indeed the zebu does, and in terms of fish, that it has a snapifash kashkeshes, scales and fins. So what's the issue about the zebu, since it seems to meet the criterion? Well, the historical background is this. The Shach says that, this is the way the Chochmas Adam interprets the Shach, that just like the halach is that by birds, in order to eat a bird, we following the Ramah, interpreting the Gemara in Chul, and the Gemara says, since we don't know exactly what the 24, people might not know exactly what the 24 birds that are non-kosher, that I mentioned in the Torah are, birds are only Nechel b'Mesoris. And the Ramah interprets that to mean that you without a Mesoris, you're not allowed to eat a bird. So offhand, that halacha only applies to birds, because birds, the Torah doesn't tell us, as it does by fish and animals, a certain criterion what determines it to make it kosher and not kosher. Birds are simply anything which is not one of these 24 is kosher. So there you need a Mesoris. However, the Chochmas Adam says, no, that the halacha doesn't only apply to birds. Animals also, even though they're mafis pasos or sarsesa and malagera and so on, they also have to have a Mesoris to eat, to be eaten. And the Chazan Ish held that this is the correct reading of the Shach, the Chochmas Adam's reading. And the issue came up in the early 50s, at the time of the establishment of the State of Israel. The then chief rabbi, Rav Herzog Zichron Levracha, posed this question, whether the zebu, which was at the time being slaughtered in Madagascar, which was one of the basic sources for kosher meat for Israel, can we import the zebu to Israel? And the Chazan Ish, quoting this Chochmas Adam, said that you cannot. Now, the Chochmas Adam is a shtickel achidish, because offhand, by birds, we can understand the Gemara says that you require Mesoira. But here, the criterion are determined. Why should you require Mesoira? And the Prima Godin says that that's not the correct reading of the Shach. What the Shach meant was only to distinguish between a Chaya and a Behema, because there are different halachas. A Chaya requires Kisi Adam, a Behema doesn't. A Chaya, the Chelev is Mutter, and by a Behema, the chaylev is also. So to determine which is a chaya, which is a behema, which the Gemara has long discussions about, depending on the kind of horns it has, those things are not so easily determined. For that, you need a mesorah, but otherwise you don't need a mesorah. That's what the Prima Godim held. And Rov Poskin, Kafachayim, and others held like this Prima Godim. This issue reemerged now, but because of the Chazanish's opposition, because it was the Chazanish, so the at least the official policy of the State of Israel was not to import the zebu, the meat of the zebu. Now, this is the official policy. I remember after the Six-Day War, I remember reading a Newsweek article. They interviewed a sergeant from the Israeli army who had just captured a convoy of Jordanian meat. So the Newsweek reporter asked the Israeli sergeant, what are you going to do with this meat? The official policy of Israel is that the army only eats kosher. He said, well, we do a lot of unofficial eating also. So this is the issue that came up right now, because they discovered 50 years later that, in fact, in South America, a lot of the animals that they're shechting are zebus, and some of them, if they're not zebus themselves, but they're a crossbreed of the zebu with the Angus, which... if you follow the tradition of the mother, or the father of Choshen Zerav, so the kashrus of this crossbreed comes into question. And the one who's dealing with this issue right now was Rav Elyashiv, and his initial psak was, if you have it in your freezer, you don't have to throw out the meat. maybe because there was a vote and so on, but he said they should stop the policy, and they should only now, at least prospectively, only use non-Zebu. But as Rabbi David Cohen pointed out in a recent conference, it's not so trivial to change, because unbeknownst to the population of Israel, the Zebu has, its wonderful quality is it's a very hardy animal. That's why it survives in very harsh climates where it's very hot, not enough water. The downside is its meat, because it's so hardy, is not as tender, it's not as delectable. But it's hardy. Now, Israel, years ago, imported milking cows from Holland. But they found that they didn't do well in the climate in Israel, which was, you know, hotter than the Dutch climate. So what they did at the end was they crossbred the milking cows with Zebus. So all the milk, the Mahadran milk and so on, that is a big portion of it going into the cheese and so on, is a derivative of the Zebu. So the problem presents itself not only in that context, as it was also reported, there's also a possibility that many of the klaf, or the oiris that are used for tefillin mezuzahs, also may be derivative of the Zebu. Misvara, most folks, as Rahelza pointed out, thought that the Zebu was kosher. And I want to speak about whether this halach of Masoira should apply also to behemoths as well, or should be limited only to ophos, as the Prima Gadol understands. And I thought that this shaila may depend on how we understand the halach of Masoira. What is the requirement of the Ramoha, based on the Gemara, that an oif is only nechal b'masoiris? There are two ways. Of course, the reason Masoiris was established is because it's difficult to determine which of the 24 birds, what's the names of them. They're not 100% clear. So therefore, we insist on a Masoira for those birds. But afterwards, in that halach of Masoira, why is there that there's a requirement of Masoira? Is the pshat simply it's a suffix? So since it's a suffix, we insist on having a Masoira to mevara the suffix. The Masoira is not the matir. The matir is, let's say, is that it's the of toho, but it's not midrabon. Of course, the requirement to Masoira superimposed is certainly only drabonon. But that drabonon, is it because it's just additional bira, and therefore we need a Masoira? Or no, the halacha is midrabonon, since the simon is not so clear, what is of toho and which is not an of toho, and the Mishnah has different simonim to tell, to determine which the 24 are. It has four simonim, that it's not a doyer, it's not predatory, that has an etzbiyaseira, with Machlok Shoshonim what it means, but let's say that it means that it has the fourth toe is in the back, has an extra toe, that it's the kukovin is niklof, that it has a zefek. So these things tell us a simonim, but they're not goyim, the kashrus. It's, if it's 24, it's not one of the 24, it's mutter. So, but on the drabon level, the matir is also that you need a mesoiris on it. Or no, it's just a biru. So if the halacha is that it's a biru, so l'chay, that should only apply to oifus. Because by behemus, we know what the biru is. We'll see if it has these criteria, if it's maligera, and if it's mafresas pausa. But if the halacha is that the mesoiris, because of this, the mesoiris is part of the matir, so then maybe they equated Oifer, what the Gemara says by Oifer was also equated to Behemoth. And I wanted to show you this halach of Mesoiris that the Gemara speaks about, there is a Chaloshem Midyaraisa of Mesoiris by Behemoth. Because Rashi quotes, based on the Torah's Kohanim, and it's really a similar in the Gemara Menachos, with slightly different language, Rashi quotes in the Pasuk Liyan Rishmini Vizos HaChaya, that Rashi says that the Bnei Shalom sold Moshe Rabbeinu all the Behemoths to Horus, and those that are kosher, those are not kosher. And presumably, if showed him the Oifus also, could be that the Moshe showed Moshe Rabbeinu a turkey. It was imported and, you know, sent out. But Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu showed every Klai Yisrael, this is kosher, this is not. So you see that there was a loch of Masoira that was chal. And I want to, Rav Shechter has in his Pnine Harav, he quotes from Rav Gorelick, an interesting Hayora, you know, the Rambam Shita is that there's a kind of a insect that if you eat, that you like it for Sheretz Ha'Oif and Sheretz Ha'Mayim and Sheretz Ha'Oretz, what the Gemara calls Putisa, it has all these remarkable qualities. And the Ravid says, this such a thing doesn't exist. What is the Rambam talking about? So we never found such a, you know, versatile insect. So Rav Gurella quoted in the name of the Biskarov, that the Biskarov said like this, Enichanami, in the Metzias, the Vaiva is right. You never found such an insect that, you know, does everything. It flies, it swims, it dances, it's everything, right? So, but the Vaiva, it's not Machlekes Metzias, but the Vaiva says that this, since Moshe Rabbeinu showed everybody which behemoth, which insect, and so on, which is mutter, so it doesn't depend on its in terms of biologically how we determine it. If it looks like this, since that was what the Mesorah was, so it's chal that has a din of sheretz ha'of and so on. I only quote this to show you that there really was a chaloshem b'soira on what the oifas are. So, and we know called the tikkun rabbanu came to your eyes of tikkun when chachamim make a takana or a requirement, it always falls. They don't just invent it out of, at least the context of the formulation of it is called the tikkun rabbanu came to your eyes of tikkun, falls on the rubric of a derisa concept. So you see that there is a chaloshem b'soira as relates to the minim tohoyim tameyim. And so maybe that's the Mesorah that's matir, and the Chazon Ish held, based on this Chochmas Adam, that it applies to behemoths as well. This issue, I thought, may depend also on another issue, which is discussed in Achrayim. We know that by Oifis, there's no simonim to tell us which is an Ov Tor. It's the 24 species that are not kosher, those are Tmeim. Beyond that, everything is kosher. But by behemoth and by dakim, the Torah has criteria. So the question is this. I'm going to start with dakim, and then we'll talk about by behemoth. What's the locha that a dag, in order to be kosher, has to have a snappy v'kashkeshes? Is the pshat, this kind of fish is kosher. Carp is kosher. Salmon is kosher. Tuna is kosher. How do we know? The Torah gives us to tell us that these are the simonim, it's a mavara that this is kosher. Oh, no, it's not just that it's mavara that's kosher. The thing that's goyim the kashrus is what? Is the snap of a kashkeshas. So a raya to that, Achorin points this out as well. Levari has it, but I always thought the Gemara is this. The Gemara says that everything that has a kashkeshas has a snapir. Everything that has scales has fins, but not everything that has fins has scales. So then it would seem that the snapir is completely irrelevant. The Torah doesn't have to tell us that about the snapir. Because just check it as a kashkeshes. Because knowing that it has a snapper by itself will not be sufficient. So the Gemara answers, Yagdil Tov V'yadir. What does it mean, Yagdil Tov? If it's a biro, so the snapper is irrelevant. It's not going to give us the information we need. And the kashkeshes gives us the full information in terms of scale. But if we say that the snapper for kashkeshes is goyim the kashes, it's what makes it a kosher min in terms of dagim. So, indeed, for the biru, it's irrelevant. But al pidin, that's what means yagdil tov. The thing that indeed is goyim the kashrus is also the snapir. Now the issue is, what about by behemoth? So, the Ragat Shova has about this in Pasha Shmini in the Tzofnes Panech and Chumis, and others talk about it. I think there's Navdei Nezer that talks about it. Someone suggests that by behemoth, the simonim, that is Malagera and Mafis Pasha, that's not the goyim with the kashrus. It's this min is kosher, right? That's just a raya. For her raya, the raya is, the halacha is that if a behemoth tahira gives birth to an animal that doesn't have split hooves, it gives it to a kolot. So the halacha is that it's kosher. If this is that's goyim with the kashrus, so we're the simonim that are to be going the kosher, if it's a beer that this belongs to the kosher species, so it's mother's kosher, so it's also kosher. But if you need to create the kashrus, malagera and mafis parsa, this is not mafis parsa, it's a kolot. Why is it kosher? So many achronim want to say, you see from there that by behemoth, it's just a liar, but not that this is the goyim, the cause of the kashrus. I heard the other day Rav Shechter Shlita said that, no, could be that, no, it's also that the simonim are goyrim, but the simonim of the mother help for the vlad. That's the pshat. This animal is called a mafreshes paser. Why? Because the mother is. And just like by shchita, the shchita, the mother helps for the vlad. So the simonim of the mother help for the vlad. And that's koyim the kash. Why do I mention this? Because this also may be relevant. Because if the din is that really the simonim are a goyrim the kashrus, I'll lie what it is.
you could say either way, but I was thinking like this, that if it's just a raya, so this is, the Torah tells you what the raya is, right? But if it's that it's the goyim, the kashrus, so then you need, maybe the labibu, there's another matter that, namely, on the drabonel, of course, of Masaira. The issue of the zibu remains unresolved. It will live beyond this conference, so we'll have to wait till Rav Eliashiv decides. But the concept that we're dealing with in terms of maintaining the Masaira, I just want to close with this notion that Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav Zichron Levracha, said, has in his Yotzei Shum, he would often quote from Rav Chaim that there are two kinds of Masaira. There's the Masaira in Halacha, and there's the Masaira the Maisa. And that's why the Rav said that Rav Chaim was opposed to the reintroduction of Tcheles, because he thought that this Masaira, what Tcheles is, you can't just say a Shtikl Torah to determine what it is. You have to have Ish Mipi Ish the Masaira. And I'd say the model to that is the Masaira that Moshe Rabbeinu introduced, V'zoi Sachai, of what are the behemoths Ksheris and not Ksheris. But we today are dealing, what this conference means to establish is in fact the Masaira Lemaisa of the different oifers, and continue this tradition of Masaira on the Maisa as well as the Halacha. Thank you.